Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Hope is sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit for Saturday, January the 10th and Sunday, January the 11th. I praise the Lord for you listening today and being in the listening audience on the radio today. I thank God for what God is doing. I usually do not call names of listeners, but I'm going to make an exception today. I want to say hello to somebody over the radio, a dear brother who has meant so much to me. And as a matter of fact, I go to church with him, Brother Jerry Hemrick. And I want to say hello to Brother Jerry and also to Brother Mike Hemrick, Jerry's son. And, you know, when I was in the sixth grade of school, Brother Jerry's wife, Miss Anna, who's in heaven now, one of the finest Christians I ever met was Miss Anna Hemrick. And so when I was in the sixth grade of school, the county hired her to come in and help me with my schoolwork. And she was a great blessing. She taught me much in life, about life, and I use a lot of her stuff today. And I praise God for it. I mean, I remember her telling me one time, she said, Ricky, she said, I was a little kid, she said, you know what your problem is? She said, you take a shortcut in everything you do. And boy, that stuck with me. And I don't want to do that. Amen. But I love Brother Jerry. He listens to me every Sunday over WIFM in Elkin, North Carolina. And that's our longest running station there. And we certainly appreciate all the folk there, Danny and Jennifer and all the people there at WIFM in Elkin, North Carolina. We appreciate them. And we've been on that station over 25 years. And I appreciate what God is doing there as far as letting us have this open door, because we reach so many people there. And then others that listen to us, thank God for you. I had a letter the other day from somebody listens to our program out in Hickory, North Carolina, over WYCV, Granite Falls. And I appreciate that. And, you know, our listeners are just such a blessing. And there'd be no need for me to be here if you wasn't out there, right? And other stations all across this great country, we got people listening. I praise the Lord for you. Well, I encourage you to go to our website, gbiradio.org, and I encourage you to download the GBI Radio app. It's in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. I hope you'll go and download that app today, and then I hope you will look on the website. We got these 30-minute programs available there. You can go listen to them. And we're into the life of David. We're in our 32nd message, and we're going to go back to that today, David's Trouble. And I hope this message is a real blessing as you continue listening to the study on the life of David. And well, we've been in this a while, and I've got 76 sermons on the life of David, and maybe we'll get to preach some more of those here. I don't know if we'll get to do it this year or not. I hope we do. But anyway, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, will you bless the message as it goes forward today? In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. All right, now the message of the Word of the Lord, David's Trouble, is you finding God's will and you going with what God says in your life. I believe the key to a church is finding God's will for the pastor. Amen. Now, if the church gets the wrong pastor, they might do some things, but they'll never do what God wanted them to do through the man that God had for them. Okay? If a man gets the wrong wife, he's married, but he'll never do what he could have done had he waited and got the right wife. You see what I'm saying? And so David didn't quit. When the javelin came, David avoided out of his presence twice. Now, God was protecting David. Psalm 139, we went through that psalm. Verse number 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Remember, God had David in a circle here. Now, I believe that Psalm 139 was probably already written before that David got to the palace. But God still had, and David remembered that. David remembered that God was protecting him. God had him in a circle. David's old flesh, I mean, somebody throw a sword at you. Why, your old flesh, you want to go out the door, right? I would. You would too. I mean, you'd want to say, hey, buddy, I think I'm done with this playing thing, Saul. I'm not going to play. But David didn't say that. David went right back to his duties. David did what was expected of him. God help us to do our duty, whether we feel like it or whether we don't feel like it. Amen. Well, we ought to preach whether we feel like it or preach when we don't feel like it. Preach when they're mad. Preach when they're sad. Preach when they're glad. Just keep on loving them, loving them, loving them. I preach on the radio. There's been days I hadn't felt like preaching on the radio. There's been days I've been discouraged about the radio. Amen. But there are other days that I realize that I'm reaching people, and I want to stay with what God's given me. Now, I don't want to stay at radio 1 minute longer than God tells me to stay in it. If God ever tells me to quit, I'm done right there. Amen. I take stations on, and when God tells me to leave a station, I had a station not long ago, and there wasn't nothing wrong at that time, but God said, I want you to be gone. I want you to leave. And so I called the manager up. I said, we're done. Amen. And no hard feelings, anything like that. When God says we're done, we're done. Listen, I'm not going to spend God's money somewhere that God don't want me to be. Amen. No, sir. Now, I believe all the stations I'm on right now, I'm in the will of the Lord being on them. But God might tell me tomorrow. He might tell me the station you're listening to. He could say, Ricky, I want you to quit over here, quit over there. And you better believe old Ricky's going to try to follow the will of God. Amen. But now let's go on here. I want to show you some things. David's protection. God was looking after him. I mean, he got the sword thrown at him, the javelin, twice. He avoided out of his presence. Well, I tell you, after that second time, I believe I'd have thought about that. But you know what? He stayed right with it. Psalm 34, verse number 7 says, the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus Christ, encampeth round about them that fear him, the Bible said, and delivereth them. By the way, David didn't have anything to worry about. You know why? Because God was on his side. Amen. By the way, wherever God, by the way, missionary, you say, preacher, I'm afraid to go to the mission field. God will take care of you. Now, I'm honest with you. If God told me to go to St. Louis, Missouri and start a church, I'd be afraid of that. Amen. I'm about blind. Amen. Down the city somewhere. If God told me to go to Baltimore, Maryland or Chicago, Illinois, I'd be scared to death. I ain't gonna lie. But if God told me to go there, God would protect me while I was there. And God led David to the palace, and Samuel had laid that anointing oil on David. David knew he was going to be king, and David had to trust in God. And the Bible said, trust in the Lord at all times. And brother, through this life, when it don't look right, it don't seem right, you just got to trust God. You got to stay with the Lord. Amen. All right, now look at verse number 12. And the Bible said, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Now, Saul was afraid of David, buddy. I mean, boy, he got to watching David. I mean, he threw a javelin at him, wham, and it missed him. And then he goes back to playing again, and wham, he throws another javelin at him, and he missed him. David just didn't quit. David didn't mouth him. David didn't say, all right, Saul, I'm done with this. You're crazy. I'm getting out of here. He didn't do anything. I don't believe he uttered a word to him. And Saul got to noticing that. And Saul was afraid of him. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord was on David. Amen. Boy, thank God for men that have the Holy Ghost touch upon them. Amen. I know you have the Holy Ghost living in you, but thank God for those men and women that are Spirit-filled. Young ladies, young people, you ought to strive in your life to be filled with the Holy Ghost in your life. On your job, where you work at, if it's the fast food place, wherever you work, you ought to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? You ought to pray. Young people, listen to me. You young people, you need to be taught to pray. You need to be taught to fast. Amen? You young people, you need to be taught. Amen? And David's a young boy here, and David behaves himself wisely. Now, David didn't have the best parents in the world. For Jesse, thought more of those other boys than he did David. So I don't know where David got his training. Maybe from his mama. I don't know. But David had some Christian training somewhere here. Maybe he went back and looked at great-grandma Ruth. I don't know. But David realized he's going to trust in the Lord here. Amen. And so he got the javelin through the end. But now the evil spirit or the Holy Spirit was departed from Saul. By the way, there is a time when God departs from man. There's a time, a saved man. I'm going to say something here. It's going to be kind of sober, but I'm going to say it anyway. You saved people that are born again. You're born again Christians. You're saved. There comes a time in your life that if you keep fooling around on God, God will withdraw himself from you. Let me quickly read Genesis chapter 6, verse number 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. That was in Noah's day. Now, I don't mean that God deals with a man 120 years and quits, but that was a principle that God gave for Noah's day. God set a timeline. And God said, look, you either get right with God, or I'm not going to deal with you anymore. That's the same for a sinner. You keep getting under conviction. You keep listening to the radio, and you say, preacher, I'm going to get saved one of these days. No, you won't. You're going to die and go to hell one of these days. That's what you're going to do. You're going to keep putting God off one too many times, and you're going to die. That heart's going to stop beating one day when you ain't thinking about and you're going to die and go to hell. That's what you're going to do if you don't get saved. And that's plain, but it's right. I tell you, as a saved person, you keep watching that pornography and you keep doing stuff behind your wife's back and your husband's back, and one of these days his spirit's going to withdraw from you, and there'll be no repentance, there'll be no getting right. And I've heard of men that, when I prove that to you in the Bible, I prove that to you real quickly in the Bible here. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 16 says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them. That sin not unto death. Now listen to this. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. There is a sin. There is a sin unto death. Now, that's not preached much in the Baptist church anymore, because we make so much out of carnality. But I'll tell you, there's a point when God will cut you off. You blaspheme God. You live in your sin. You're proud of your sin. You know, that's what Lot's girl was. Lot's two daughters. One of them, Moab, was her firstborn, and another one. And I think it was the children of Ammon, but I think it was the one that Moab was the mother of Moab. I think it was her. And if you study that in the Greek, or the Hebrew, I'm sorry, it literally means Hebrew Old Testament. I know where I'm at. All right. It literally means this. It literally means that she was proud of the fact that she had had a child by her daddy. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're living in a day when people are proud of their sin. People are proud they're living together and not married. People are proud they're with the same sex and not married. People are proud about it. And brother, people are lifting it up, and that's why sin is wanting its rights. Sin don't deserve rights. Sin needs to be dealt with. Amen. And God will deal with it. Now, we can't deal with sin. I can't deal with it. God's not called me to deal with sin. But God will deal with sin. You ain't escaped God. You ain't escaped. There's two judgments. There's the judgment seat of Christ for the saved man, and there's the white throne judgment for the lost man. And either one of those judgments will not be a picnic nor a piece of pie. Amen. Now, the word departed means to take away. It means to remove. It means to turn aside. And that's what happened here. Amen. With Saul. Now, look at verse number 8, chapter number 18, verse number 13. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in, the Bible said, before the people. Now, here's what Saul did. Saul said, all right, he's going to, you know, Saul was afraid of David. And so Saul removed him out of his sight. David got a demotion. Now, David was a general here. Everything was going good. David had killed Goliath. David had the head of Goliath, brought it to Jerusalem, which is a sign of victory. And now David gets demoted. And I've already dealt with demotion in this series of messages, so I think I'll go real quickly here. But many people can't handle demotion. A pastor sometimes can't handle having to leave one church as bigger and taking a smaller work. Or somebody can't handle a demotion if you're asked to step down in a church and do something different. I want to say something about the church. The Sunday school class is not yours. You may have been teaching that class for 37 years, and your mother may have taught that class for 35 years before you, but it's not your class. Sir, the deacon board's not your deacon board, and the church is not your church. It's God's class, God's deacon board, God's work, and we ought to realize that. Amen. Church is not a bunch of family tradition. I want you to understand that. God is sick of that. God pukes at that. Amen. He wants to in the book of Revelation. That's Laodicea and thinking right there. And the church is God's business, and the church goes for God. The church is not built on any man. I want you to understand that. And if a man is where he is wrong, then he shouldn't be the pastor anymore. If the man can't pastor, he shouldn't be the pastor. If the man biblically is disqualified, then he shouldn't be the pastor, you see. And so sometimes men get a demotion. What will you do in a demotion? Well, let me give you a few things. How to deal with demotion. All right, first of all, realize it's of God. If you're saved and born again, Romans 8:28 still in the Bible. Now, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We know that's in the Bible. Amen. Secondly, know that God has a bigger plan. Job 9, verse number 10, the Bible said, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without measure. All right, God's bigger than you are. If you get an emotion, it's God's plan. Number three, don't rely on the flesh. Now, when you preachers, when you get a new young preacher, I tell you what, now, you young preachers, we've got to build a fire under you. All this politics and trying to get the pulpit to preach, you boys think that you go to Bible college and you deserve a pulpit. I tell you what you deserve. You deserve a rest home ministry. You deserve a jail ministry. You deserve a radio broadcast for a few years. And you need to settle down a little bit and let God prepare you about preaching, boys. Amen. Now, you may not like that coming from the old man, but it's all right. I'm getting a little older. And you young boys, you campaign and you politic and you hand out cards and you make phone calls. And I tell you something, God ain't in that stuff. I just want you to know that. Amen. Boys, you need to settle down and do what I did and wait on the Lord. Amen. If you get demoted, I've been stepped down a few times in the ministry. And when you get demoted, amen, you don't rely on the flesh. Read Psalm 118, verse 8 and verse 9. I don't have time to read them. I've got them down here on this outline, but I don't have time to read them. I'm going on. But listen, when you get demoted, lady, in your life, don't you pitch a fit. You get demoted on your job, amen. Remember that don't resort to the flesh, amen. All right, let me show you this, amen. The work of the flesh will never do the work of God. Then behave yourself wisely. That's what David did in verse 14. We'll study that. He behaved himself wisely. Amen. When you get an emotion, behave yourself wisely. Then number 5, wait on the Lord. Boy, that's something we don't hear anymore. These young preachers, they don't want to wait on God for anything. Wait on the Lord for a church. You don't have to have a title all the time. You don't have to have a doctorate stuck by your name. You don't have to have the word pastor, whether it's youth pastor, whatever, stuck on your name. You don't have to have that. You say, preacher, I don't like your preaching. Well, I don't like the way some things are going, so I guess we're even. Amen. I'm not being ugly with you. I'm not being mean with you. I announced my call to preach almost 40 years ago. I think I know a little something about it. And I just say to you that I waited on the Lord. I've tried to be true to God. I've tried to live by the qualifications of a preacher. I've tried to do that for almost 40 years. And if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for you. Amen. All right. Is that okay? We're all right, ain't we? The Bible said in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be, the Bible said, exalted in the earth. Now, let me say this to you. The only way God's going to be exalted is for you to wait on the Lord in your lifetime. Amen. And Psalm 1:3 talks about you bringing forth your fruit in your season. Did you know every preacher's got a season? Now, David had a season. Did you know it wasn't time for him to be king yet? Now, did you know that Moses went out there, according to Stephen, Moses thought that he would walk out there and be the leader of Israel at 40 years old. Well, Moses didn't realize he had 40 more years of preparing left. So some of you young preachers, you think you're ready, and you got a few more years of preparation ready for you yet. Amen. That's right. Then I want to say this, be faithful in that God has called you to. If you don't get that church, if a church turns you down, don't you quit the ministry. You just be faithful in what God's give you, all right? If God wants you over there, God told me something one day. God said, son, if I can take a tornado and set it down somewhere, he said, I can put you where you need to be. So I'm not too worried about the Lord. Amen. He'll put us where we need to be. Then I say number 7, don't ever retaliate against those that might demote you. Amen. Romans 13:10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, the Bible said, love is the fulfilling of the law. We're to love people. You say, well, I'll get even with that fellow. I'll get even with that pastor. He demoted me. Don't get even and leave his church. Get right and stay with him. I had a pastor, and I want to thank God for him. He listens to me on the radio. And he was pretty tough on me. When I first started preaching, he said, I'll give you a time limit, and you preach it, and you stop. Brother, that's where I learned, amen. Did you know that you preachers, old or young, if a man gives you 15 minutes and you go 1 minute over, did you know you're disobedient to that man in that church? Did you know that? Now that ain't, you say, well, I'm 55 years old. I can get away. No, you can't. No, you're no better than 25-year-old. You're rebellious. Well, now God got it. No, he didn't. God never leads apart from the Bible. If I'm in a man's church, he gives me 20 minutes. 20 minutes, all I'm supposed to take. Well, you say, preacher, I can't get warmed up in 20 minutes. Well, forget the warming up and just preach, amen. If you wouldn't get up and kill time, you'd be, I don't know how I got in all that, but you go to some of these places where some of them preaching there on the time limit, you'll see more rebellion in those kind of services and people. And I tell you what, I was tough. When I pastored, I was tough on the preacher boys that said unto me. And by the way, I'm glad I was. I thank God, though, they ought to learn some sense. Amen. Our young preachers got to learn. Now, I'm not used to old Bill Cawthorn's down on young preachers. No, sir. I just believe you ought to learn. It's just like a child. I think a child ought to have correction. I don't think a 5-year-old child ought to drag his mama through the store. Amen. That's right. Amen. I believe in law and order and decency. Amen. Now, let me show you 1 Samuel 18:14. The Bible said, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Well, let me say this to you. Stay with God and do what he says do, and God will be with you. David said, okay, I've got an emotion here. What am I going to do? He said, I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to stay with the Bible. I'm just going to walk with God. I'm just going to stay with the Lord's blessing. Amen. That's what you ought to do. Amen. Somebody said, I got my feelings hurt. They took my class away from me down at the church. Well, wait a minute. Maybe it's time. Maybe it was time. Listen, don't get your feelings hurt when something happens. Amen. When you get demoted, I've been demoted. Go with God. Walk with God. Don't get in the flesh. Let me tell you something. Did you know the flesh will ruin you? And the flesh will ruin me. Don't live in the flesh. Fellas, live in the Spirit. I love you young preachers. Don't you ever think I don't. Live in the Spirit, boys. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Live in the Spirit. And you'll live a victorious life. And then these things won't bother you when you get to my David's a young boy. And by the way, you need some hardships in your young days. You young preachers at 22-year-old, you don't need a church handed to you with a parsonage and $1,000 a week. You don't need that. You're a novice, amen, and you know what you're going to do? You're going to fall on your face. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to fall. The Bible says not being a novice, and a novice is a young preacher. A young preacher's got no business doing that. You know what I did? I took my first church at 23, and I fell flat on my face with it, amen. Now, there's certain cases when young men take churches at a young age, and they succeed, and thank God that they do. Not everybody's going to fall, but I tell you, a lot of them's going to fall, amen. I've seen men come, and I've seen them go. And I've seen men have a prideful spirit, and buddy, they fail. Amen. I was thinking of a man. I wouldn't call his name on the radio for nothing in the world. I think of this man, and he got mad at this crowd he was pastoring, and he got mad at them. And you know what? He asked me. He said, "What you think I ought to do?" I said, "You better stay still. You need to stay still." And this man left that place. And you know what? As far as I know, that man really ain't done a whole lot for the Lord since. Now, the thing is, brother, I want to stay in the will of God, whether it's demotion or promotion, but I want my promotion to come from God. I don't get on social media and hang out a thing that says, I have open dates. Would you pray that the Lord would help me fill my calendar? You don't want anybody to pray. You're lying. You want somebody to fill your calendar. That's all you're wanting. You don't want anybody to pray about it. You want somebody to fill your calendar. Somebody said, well, if you'll just stay on the phone with these pastors, that'll refresh their memory. Why don't you stay off the phone with them? One young man told one of the great old men, he said, if I could just get a break. The old man said, son, you don't need a break. You need God. Let me tell you something. If I want to preach revivals, here's what I need to do. Why don't I get down and pray an hour that God will give me some revivals? If I want to preach prayer conferences, home conferences, Bible conferences, and I love all this stuff, why can't I just get down and pray about it? And then when the man calls me and says, sir, would you preach a Bible conference for me? I'd know it's in the will of God because nobody's ever called me to do that. If somebody said to me, would you preach a home conference? I'd know it's in the will of God. Why, brother, I'd rather get my stuff from God. And David got an emotion, but what did he do? He just kept on going. David behaved himself wisely. Amen. One person is saying, now let's go to verse number 15. The Bible said, wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. One commentary writer said that what this meant was that Saul didn't want to be around David anymore. Well, David behaved himself very wisely. The Bible said, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. How are you in your ministry? Are you behaving yourself wisely? Amen. Stay out of other people's business. Amen. Don't get tangled up in somebody else's mess. Stay with God. Walk with God. Young preacher, stay with the Lord. Stay on your knees in prayer. I went to North Dakota several years ago, and I met an old Canadian preacher. I couldn't tell you much that me and that Canadian talked about. Matter of fact, I couldn't tell you anything else we talked about. I really couldn't. But I remember that old man looked at me and he said, son, pray much. And if I ever get this book wrote that I'm working on, that I've been delayed on, it's in my book. I put that in my book about this man from North. He said, son, pray much. I've never met the man. I'll never see him again this side of heaven. But I'll tell you, that man was right. He had some advice for a young preacher. Pray. Instead of politicking, pray, brother. Pray. You want some places to preach? Pray. Get down and sit before the Lord for an hour. And pray to God about it. Amen. Pray to God. The other morning, I was praying. So help me. I was praying. The other morning, I said, God, do something for me. I was a little discouraged. I said, God, do something for me. And you know what? When I come out getting ready to go to church, my wife said, hey, you got a phone call. Said, there's a preacher so-and-so on the line. You know what it was? He wanted me to come preach for him. Brother, let me tell you something. All you got to do is go to God. And God will use you, amen. All right, now let me show you this, amen. Did you know that David just stayed right with God? Psalm 23:5, the partial verse of that says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." You know what? You know what David did? He allowed God to prepare a table before him in the presence of his enemies, and Saul was afraid of him. Listen, when you've got enemies and you've got people compassing you all about, don't ever fight them. I never fight those that say evil things or do evil things to me. You say, "Preacher, you mean people does evil things to you? You wouldn't believe things been done to me." But let me tell you something. The wrong thing for me to ever do is fight back. I'll let God handle that, brother. And I promise you, when God handles a man, he'll be handled. Amen. I don't have the power to fight. I don't have the power to carry on a fight. Nor am I going to waste God's time fighting. I'll just stay with the Lord. And if you stay with God, God will help you. Now, let's notice the last thing here in verse 16. The Bible said, "But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them." You know what it was? God again was at work. He was getting ready to bring David providentially into being the king. Now David was going out, and before he was captain of his thousand, but all Israel had took notice of him and they loved him. You know what God was doing? He was putting him right there. By the way, you say, "Preacher, if I could just find favor with the brethren," why don't you let God let you find favor with men, all right? You know, in Genesis 39, Joseph was in the prison. You remember that? And in verse number 21, the Bible said, "But the Lord was with Joseph." Right there's the key. "And showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." You know what Joseph had? He had favor from God. Boy, I'd rather have favor from God, wouldn't you? I might not have favor of the brethren. I don't even know what the brethren think about me. I know I love them. I know I pray for many of them. Every week of my life, I pray for many churches in different states. And I thank God that I have that privilege to do that. I love the brethren. But I'll say this to you. I'm not trying to please the brethren. I'm trying to please the Lord. And if God brings me into, God brought him into favor. Now, God is slowly but surely bringing David to the throne. I never thought about this till the other day. But it is a very slow process that God is doing here to bring David to the throne. By the way, some things don't happen overnight. I prayed many years for a wife. You say, "Boy, if I could just get a church to pastor." Hang on. Some things, they don't happen overnight. All right? Don't happen overnight. And brother, God will take care of you. God will take care of you in demotion, in trouble. Boy, here's David. His trouble begins, and it don't let up. I mean, he's a young man. Somebody said, "Well, I just feel sorry for that young man. He ought not have to go through what he's going through." You know what we've done? We're putting too much emphasis on our young people. Now, I'm not against them again. I know some of y'all don't like that. Our emphasis ought to be on the older people. They're the ones neglected. The older folk ought to be, "Oh, but they can't build a church. Why, they're so old, they can't build." You know what? The devil has really messed your thinking up. If it wasn't for your older folk in the church that put that money in, that started businesses and that's lived the American dream, so to speak, and went out and started a business and made a bunch of money, and put you get your older people down there. While you young people, some of y'all so lazy, you wouldn't work in a pie factory in the tasting department, amen? And how in the world you think you're going to fund a church? How do you think all this was? How do you think us fundamentalists got where we are today? By the way, I'm a fundamental Independent Baptist, and I make no apology for it. Amen. I've never been scarred nor hurt by being a Baptist or a fundamentalist. Amen. I've never been the victim. I'm a Baptist, and I'm glad I'm. But here's what I'm trying to say to you. David stayed with God, and God was bringing him in. And it looks kind of bad. I mean, David's a young boy, and yet he's going through this in his young. I don't know how old David was. I think he was probably about 18-year-old. I think he's old enough to be a man, but I mean, David was a young boy, and yet, by the way, young people go through trials. Sure they do. 16, 18-year-old. I know where there's a young lady, and I bet you she wasn't 18-year-old when she went through one of the biggest trials of her life, and her daddy was telling me about it. And matter of fact, I got to have prayer with her, and he wanted me to. Me and her daddy and some other folk, we met and prayed, and this girl, I mean, she was going through some things. And she's still got some things that she has to battle. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast today for this Saturday, January 3rd, Saturday, January the 10th. Boy, I gave our programmers a start. Saturday, January 10th, Sunday, January 11th. Forgot where I was there, didn't I? But anyway, yeah. But, hey, I appreciate you listening on this January 10th and 11th. Well, we'll be back with you next week, Lord willing, another broadcast. And I hope you'll tune us in then. You learned one thing today. You learned I'm not perfect. You already knew that, didn't you? God bless you. We certainly appreciate you listening. Jesus. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.